Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to Untriven on Joy 94.9 with Hugh and Kapam. Tonight we have a very outrageous gender illusionist. He's a performer, a cheese cutter, and a designer. He loves nothing more than to shout people. Once again, we have another great discussion coming up tonight on Untriven, so stay with us for the next hour here on Joy 94.9. Welcome to Untriven on Joy 94.9, the multicultural show on a Wednesday evening. If you'd like to ask questions or make comments on the program, you can SMS 0427JOY949 or call Nick on reception on 9699 2949.
Hello, this is Kafam and Hugh, and the track we just listened to is Nonos Bararan by Changa Charanga 76, all the way from Cuba. You know, Hugh, I just learned one thing new this week.
What was that?
That you can actually give orgasm to someone who is literally brain dead, like declared clinically brain dead.
Really?
How interesting was that?
Could you have told me that before we came?
I just thought I would surprise you on that one.
Our guest tonight is
equally interesting. He is a gender illusionist. Merle, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kafan. How are you?
Yes, you are a gender illusionist. What is that? Tell us what that is.
A gender illusionist is a drag queen who actually sings, doesn't mime.
But you don't call yourself a drag queen.
I don't. I call myself a gender illusionist, although a lot of people still say I'm a drag queen or a drama queen.
Gender illusionist, is that official what you're called?
I think it is an official term for a gender illusionist.
Who gave you?
I was performing on a TV show on a talent quest, and they actually called me a gender illusionist.
Okay.
So there are others out there?
Yeah, there are others. Sydney, there's a lot of gender illusionists.
Do you have to be a good singer to be a gender illusionist, or you could be crap at it and still be a gender illusionist?
I can hold my own in the singing stakes, but it just depends. So some people are, you know, fairly crap singers, and they still get away with it.
So tell me, Merlot, and Merlot's like the wine, Merlot.
The red wine, yeah.
Okay. I had to say that.
And that's come about, how did you choose the name Merlot?
I always have, always wear red wigs, and I just thought of Merlot.
Oh, right.
And then you've got other wine-related names as well.
Chardonnay, Riesling.
And when you do a lesbian character, what do you call that?
Liquidonna.
A Liquidonna. Very appropriate.
Oh, okay. Now, when you do this gender illusion, you're dressed as a female.
Yes.
And you said a red wig.
Yep.
That's where you got the male look from. And the makeup?
Makeup, I look more like an auntie.
Oh, okay.
A sophisticated sort of auntie look.
So that's the difference between a drag queen and
a drag queen is more of a freakish, full-on eyeshadow, full-on, just full-on.
Yeah, so they've got all the bright colours on their eyes and the big lips and all the makeup, but you don't have that.
No, I try to be more feminine.
Okay.
And you mentioned that when the drag queens take the wigs off, they look like clowns.
Exactly.
And you have a phobia of clown, which we'll cover a bit more in detail. And do you, because you're always dressed so outlandishly, you know, pardon my saying that.
Right.
Are you ever in mainstream clothing?
Not really, no. I even make a suit look gay.
Now, I have to say something. Tonight, you come in to meet us at the Joy Studios, and you're dressed very... bright.
Yes, bright. So PC.
Orange trousers and big necklace.
Bit of lace and a bit
and
of
you had this weird hat on your head. Now, and I thought, well, this looks very gypsy. It does, doesn't it?
It does.
Because it's got all these metal things hanging and everything else and beads. But it's actually a bag.
A handbag.
What made you think you're putting a handbag on your head?
I always wear handbags, scarves, even anything that fits on your head I wear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was unusual, but it looked good. It looked good, but you had to take it off because of the earphones.
Yeah, because it made too much noise.
I actually thought it was some kind of ethnic wear, you know, when you came in. And then you took out the hat, and then out came the handles of the bag. That was very clever.
Let's talk about you, though. Let's talk about early Merlot.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you originally come from?
Well, I'm born here in Melbourne. My dad's born in Reggio Calabria, which is in Italy. My mum's from Welsh, so there's a bit of a mixture.
So you've got a bit of the UK, a bit of Italy. And do they know all about you and what you do and what you look like and everything?
They do, because I push it in their face.
Right.
They're not really gay happy, right. So they don't really appreciate me being gay, but yeah.
But so when did you tell them?
I actually told them that when I was 40.
Okay. So that was only a few years ago.
Yeah, not long ago.
And, you know, we'll talk more on that when we come back after this.
This is Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, Orange Ribbon with Hugh and Kafam, and our guest tonight, Merlo, who is a gender illusionist. And we're going to go back a bit in time, back in time, about your childhood. Your childhood was not as innocent as most people. Tell us what happened at the age of five.
At the age of five, we used to go away every year to a homestead sort of holiday retreat, and they used to have like game rooms and things like that, and kids used to go and play as children do. And I was molested at the age of five by a clown.
So hence we talked about earlier how you have a phobia for clowns. So that's how it's connected.
That's how it's connected, yeah.
But you didn't actually... You haven't told anyone initially about it, did you?
Not initially. I was little, and I was, like, bribed by the clown, and he actually got charged years later, but not for offending me, but other people that were old enough to go to court and stuff. And I tried very hard to get clowns out of my mind. When I was 21, I had a fancy dress, and I went as a clown, and I had clowns in my room, and I still can't get over clowns. I sing about clowns when I sing. Yeah, so it's just one of those things that will always stay in my mind.
And how did your parents eventually find out?
When I was about nine, another thing happened in our family, and I had to go for counselling and stuff, and then it just came out with that. So,
did you ever feel that you wanted to go to the police and report them? In later life, I'm talking about. Yeah,
well, later life, it happened anyhow, because it was, like, on news and stuff, and you could have come forward. But, I mean, at five...
At five, you wouldn't think about something like that.
No, you wouldn't even know what you were talking about,
but,
basically.
When he obviously was charged with other offences. Yeah. So, did you come forward then, or...?
No, I just let it go.
Yeah?
It's just not worth, like...
You didn't see any point
no,
in it.
No, it's not worth it.
And the effect is still with you to this day?
To this day,
are you still in therapy?
Not for that, no.
Not for that. For some other... whole other
lie.
Oh, gamut, hello. But you seem so together, you know, you're out there, you so seem so confident. Is
I
that
think
a front?
That's a part of it.
Is that... What, how do you mean it's a part of it?
I think, like a lot of people, when things happen to them, they sort of put all their strength into other sort of things, and I just love performing and fashion and... I just go overboard with certain things and just keep my mind occupied.
Yes, people think that they don't know the whole other side of Merlo.
No.
And there's something that interesting you have mentioned about clothing as material things.
Yep.
Tell us more about that.
Well, people say, oh, you know, you look weird or you dress weird, but it's just clothing. So it's just fabric and, you know, material. Like, just because I might look gay, it doesn't mean I am gay, but I'm gay. Definitely gay, not alternative. And, like, a lot of people that, especially when you're in performing, like if a girl performs, they generally say, oh, she's a slut because she wears a miniskirt. Well, just because you wear a miniskirt doesn't mean you're a slut.
She could go to church every Sunday.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, you were talking off air about where you work. You're a cheese cutter.
Cheese cutter, yes. Yeah.
And you wear the outrageous clothes that you wear, but you have to put... A white coat over it. Tell us what you said to people when they went, oh, look at your clothes.
Well, when I arrived on the first day, everyone said, oh, you're very alternative. And I said, I'm alternatively gay. And they went, oh, okay. So all the guys disappeared straight away.
And what were you wearing during the interview?
I actually wore lace pants.
What's lace pants?
Lace, complete lace, like curtain lace, black, see-through, and a G-string.
Oh, my goodness.
And a G-string.
Yes.
So they could see the G-string through your trousers.
Of course.
Did you not worry about, you know, dressing a bit more conservatively so that people might hire you and then maybe you can go outrageous afterwards?
No, because I think, like, if you can't, they hire you for what you are.
Mm.
So it's not worth, like, going there in a suit and then you turn up the next day in ripped jeans. So, like, you know, you just got to be yourself.
Tell me, did you turn up with the necklace and the earrings?
I wear necklace and earrings to work every day, and I take them off just before I go into the cheese room because you're not allowed to wear any jewelry at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You can wear piercings, like, no one gets to see them. But
do you wear a wig?
At work?
Yeah.
No. I sometimes wear it to work and I'll take it off, but you've got to wear a hairnet anyhow, so.
All right, so yeah. It's not worthwhile.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
And what convinced them eventually to hire you anyway? Because they were a bit taken aback in the first place.
No, they're quite good, but they've got used to me, and it's so funny how they've just become really gay-friendly.
I often find that people actually someone have to convert them, you know, in terms of into acceptance.
Yeah, well, it's really funny because on Saturday night, some of them are going to a gay diva show to watch drag queens perform, and they'd never been before. So it's sort of I'm sort of teaching them a bit of gay culture,
a bit of initiation yeah. Party.
Well, I actually turn up to work sometimes in drag. Christmas time, I turned up in drag and gave them all Christmas presents, and they're like, they couldn't believe it.
They were probably all taken aback.
I went to Santa's hall.
What was that?
Santa's whore.
What?
Santa Claus's wife.
let's move on a little bit because you have had an illness as well.
Mm-hmm.
That where you've had something wrong with your glands. What was it called?
I've got an adenoma on the pituitary gland, which is a tumour in the brain. It's just it's dormant. It's not like. Won't kill me, but I mean
it's
does
not
cause
serious
a, yeah,
yet,
it, well not yet, but it does it can cause a lot of trouble.
So do you have to keep an eye on that?
I do. I have an MRI every now and then and medication and stuff.
You also said it affects your weight and
everything. I do. I have a big weight problem.
You don't at the moment though.
I do.
To the listener at the moment, he's sitting here and he looks skinnier than me.
Oh so. Yeah, hello. It's amazing what a few wraparounds do around your waist.
And you say you have the weight problem ever since you were a little kid.
I did. I was born 11 pound, over 11 pound, and when I got to
that's
five,
a big baby.
Yeah, and when I was 5, I was 5 stone. When I was 20, I was 20 stone.
Okay.
When I was 21, I got the 21 stone. I thought, oh my god.
Is this always been part of the illness, or
no? It's I don't know, but I've always been fat. So like, and then I got just about 2 years ago when I got sick, I got really skinny. I got down to 88, and I was really happy.
did this affect you, being gay, did this affect you, your life, and going out and meeting people and doing different things?
Well, to be quite honest, my life's been really weird. I know people are going to say you've been gay since day one, but I've actually turned gay when I was about 40.
40?
Turn gay.
Gay, yeah.
For a lot of people out there, they would actually be enraged to hear that.
Yeah, some people think you're a mental. And I've actually I go to a psychologist a lot, so, you know, hello. But, yeah, I was, well, when I was molested when I was 5, I think when I got older, my sex life's been really weird, very quiet, very scared, both heterosexual or whatever.
So the abuse you went through at 5 years old has affected you in your later life as far as sex is concerned.
Definitely.
And how long, when you went into therapy at the age of 9, how long did the therapy go for? How many years?
Well, that was for something different. They didn't actually, it was basically because I was in shock from seeing my grandmother get shot.
Mm-hmm. Which we'll talk about a little bit later.
A bit more.
So that's what happened, sort of, it put me into shock. And then I actually went to school with the girl who I ended up marrying. We went to school when we were 12, and when we were 20 we got married. But
can I ask you something, Marilyn? When you married this girl, was it because you really loved her or because you were lonely?
No, well,
good question here.
Yeah, it is a good question. Well, I thought, you know, we'd be married for life, but it just didn't work out. We were married for 20 years. And
you went out for 20 years?
Married for 20 years.
Married for 20 years. Okay.
We were married for 20 years.
And you have a child?
Have a 16-year-old.
That's a long time to be married. Yeah.
And then we broke up. She actually got leukemia when about 7 years before we broke up, and she went into her own little world.
Right.
And I went into my little world. The sad thing is neither of us had an affair, neither of us have had anyone else in our life up until now.
Hmm.
She still hasn't had anyone else in her life, and I know because that's just the way she is. And but since then I've moved on.
And so how? Sorry, Catherine.
And during the entire time when you were having this relationship, this marriage with this woman, you weren't at all gay. You didn't have a gay thought.
I
didn't have a gay wrist.
I used to perform.
Yeah.
But
and she knew you performed.
Yep.
Okay.
And she appreciated that. She had no problems with it. But
can I ask you a personal question? how was your sex life when you were married?
The last 7 years, it was didn't exist.
No,
because she was ill.
Because of the leukemia.
Mm-hmm. She was ill. And she
Before that?
Before that, it was fine. But it was fine, but I mean, it was just a, not overboard. Because as I said, she was very, very shy, very sort of scared when it came to sexual sort of things. Yep.
This is On Driven with Kafam and Hugh on Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is Slap Louis Joy 94.9 by Angun with Hugh and Kafam on Orange Ribbon, and our guest tonight, Merlo. And I want to talk about your nasty grandfather who killed your grandmother on your brother's 21st birthday. Tell us about
on your brother's 21st birthday.
Yes. It's a while back now. What would it be? About 30 years ago, probably a little bit more. My brother had a 21st birthday, and my parents had just built a new house, and it was absolutely their dream house, and it had a gone with the green staircase, which is the staircase that goes up, the staircase that goes down.
It was actually modelled.
It was gorgeous.
It was actually modelled after that.
Absolute gorgeous house.
Sounds very Italian.
Yeah, it was very woggy, had all marble staircase and everything. And my parents worked really hard to get it, and as you say, if you dream of something, it always gets shattered.
Yes.
That's not very optimistic.
So tell us what happened.
Well, it was my brother's 21st, and we didn't know, but my grandparents were sort of having in Italian families, it's always hush-hush.
Mm.
Like, they never come out and tell the truth. Everyone, like, they hide things, most Italian families, families do, but no one's really true in what they say.
Yeah.
And he just pulled out a pistol and shot her.
Did you witness the argument, or...?
No. Just,
I'm amazed because your grandfather walked around with a pistol in his pocket. Really?
Yeah.
My God, it sounds like the mafia or something.
Oh, yes. Then it does go somewhere down there. But, it's quite sad. He actually just, it affected a lot of people's life. Basically, everyone who was there was affected.
Did you see this happening?
Yeah, actually, my sister was holding her hand and they were going upstairs to get the candles to light the cake. And we were just running around, and then we just heard bang, 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 and she fell on the ground, and she was dead. And then he shot an uncle and just kept shooting
at random. Oh, my God, he shot an uncle as well.
And he didn't die, worse luck. He's still alive to
tell the tale.
But it affected our neighbours' lives and their children's lives. And
there must have been police everywhere.
Yeah, and like my mum was expecting at the time, and she actually, because he cut the cord of the phones, they couldn't call the police.
So he's planned all that in advance.
And of course there's no mobile phones.
No, not then. No.
It seems almost like he wanted a big audience.
My mum was about 5.5 months expecting, and she jumped the back fence to ring the police at the neighbours, and she actually lost the baby about 3 days later. So that was drama as well. But it affected, even up to now, like, all our old, because we had to shift from there. My parents, probably, like, 30-something years ago, that was just when the money changeover was.
So your parents'
the house cost
dream
about $100,000, and they only got about 60 for it, because no one would buy it, because it was haunted.
And apparently. So your grandfather was jailed subsequently. Did anyone visit him at all? Or find out why he did what he did?
A lot of them didn't. A lot of Italians are two-faced as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't visit him, but when he died, they all go to the funeral and act sorry and all the rest of the shit.
To show that everyone still...
To show respect and all that crap. I didn't go. I wouldn't go because it's wrong. If you don't, you're not hypocrite. If you went to visit him, fine, go to the funeral. My sister went to his funeral, and but I was happy with that because she went to visit him when he was in jail, so...
So, sorry, did I miss it? How long was he in prison before he died?
Life.
Never
came out.
How long was he actually in prison, though?
I think over 20 years.
Oh, okay.
He got put out into Q. There used to be like, it's meant like, it's not there, no longer there. But it was like low remand sort of thing.
And what was the fight about? Do you know what the fight was all about?
To this day, no one ever knows. I think he wanted to go to Italy and she didn't want to go, so he fought off. If you don't come, you
stuck
die.
You're going to die.
You die.
But I was saying earlier, it seems like he was almost looking for a big audience to do that, to plan it in advance and do it on her 21st birthday.
Yeah, I think he wanted to probably hurt someone in her family as well. But he hurt, like...
He hurt everyone.
He hurts everyone, even innocent next-door neighbours and children and
stuff. So you had at 5 years old, the clown, and then your grandfather...
And as a result of that, you went into therapy.
Yeah.
But during therapy, you actually told us there was a so many things have happened over the years.
I shouldn't laugh.
It's drama.
It's like drama follows you around, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, tell us about Flemington Racecourse.
Well, oh, yes, the Flemington Racecourse.
Yeah, I went when my dad used to sometimes used to go to the races, and I was sitting at the bottom of the grandstand, and the races had finished, and I was just like kicking tickets around and stuff. And next thing I saw this shadow, and I heard all this screaming, and this lady jumped off the grandstand and landed two seats in front of me.
Oh my God.
Else was on the grandstand. The chairs went up, they broke. And I went running around. At the end, people came because the people from upstairs had to come down three flights of stairs to come down to her. And I was just in shock. I couldn't believe it. It was just like horrific.
Oh, God.
And there were a few more dramas subsequently, which we'll come back to. You're on Joy 94.9 with Hugh Kafam and our guest tonight, Merlo.
Diversity is Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Sergeant Garcia with Rompe la Condena. You're enjoying the 4.9 arrangement with Hugh and Kofam, and Hugh has a message.
The Gay and Lesbian Switchboard has been generously donated a framed limited edition Ross Watson print, which we are auctioning as a fundraiser for Switchboard. You can bid online until this Saturday, June the 13th. Visit switchboard.org.au for more details. And it's actually, I've got a photograph of it here, and it actually looks quite good. So I think you should really get down to switchboard.org.au and find out more.
And our guest tonight, of course, is Merlo, who's had a lot of dramas in his life. We were talking earlier about the woman who jumped off a balcony in a Flemington Racecourse and nearly died, just 2 feet away, 2 seats away from you.
2 seats away, yep.
I actually said to you off air, I think you must be one of the most unluckiest people I've sat beside as far as all these things that have happened. And you actually said, no, I'm the lucky one, I'm still alive. And, you know, maybe that's true because...
It is.
You know, you had your grandfather who shot your grandmother, the lady in Flemington who jumped off the balcony in front of you, and then we had a motorcyclist. Tell us about the motorcyclist.
Yes, we're actually coming back from Channel 10. My sister used to sing on shows at Channel 10 years ago, and it would have been about midnight, and it was on the intersection of Canterbury Road. A motorcycle passed us and went through the red light, and a truck was coming the other way and hit the truck. And my sister got out of the car, and there was a helmet there, and she went to help him, and she kicked the helmet.
It's not funny, Kafam.
And his head was in the helmet.
Sorry. Oh, my God.
So he's laughing. He's telling me not to laugh. He's laughing.
And you saw this helmet with the head.
I did. It was off. It was disgusting.
So what did your sister do? She must have been hysterical.
I know.
Well, she was like,
she was in shock.
I don't know if we're in shock, because, like, we're probably used to being in shock, but, I mean... Now we laugh about it. We think it's quite funny.
Oh, God. At the time, it must have been horrible.
It almost seems like there are people around you to divert your bad luck, you know, whatever, your good luck, bad luck to someone else to take the death.
I think, it's the same as when I go somewhere, I always look for the exit doors. Don't I? Just ready for something to happen.
Do you think this follows you? This is something that's part of your life?
Look, that's... Sometimes my family go, my God, wherever you go, you always got to come into something. But I think if it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen. Nothing's happened to me virtually.
Because you went to a disco, a very old word, I know, but a disco is you talk about it, in King Street, and there was a shooting.
Yeah, 5 people got shot. That's the first time I actually went out, because my family never used to let us go out. And I went to a 21st, and I promised. I said, oh, I'll be good. And they said, okay, you can go.
It's very spooky. Merlo, yeah, you know, I've never met anyone who has come across so much tragedy in their life.
Yeah, it just happens. I mean, like, I suppose I'm at the wrong place at the wrong time, or the right place at the right time. It depends on the way you think of it.
And I think what you said during the break, you probably are true. You're still alive, you know, even though you've been through all this and you've seen all this, you know. And... You look to me like a fairly sane person. Had to be.
I don't know about that. I think. I don't know.
Have you ever stopped and wondered why is all this happening to me? In a spiritual sense, it seems to be kind of like a magnet, isn't it?
I think it just teases me. I virtually lately I just laugh because I'm always, as I said, I'm waiting for things to happen. Like it's as if, you know, what's going to happen now, sort of thing. But it doesn't get me down. It used to, but not anymore.
Have you ever went to a spiritualist or something like this to get
a clairvoyant?
Yeah, I've been to clairvoyants and stuff, but I actually went to a clairvoyant a while ago at St. Andrew's Market, and it was weird. She told me that I was ill, and she
ill as in
ill, just as in like that, you know, and she didn't say anything, and I thought, oh, my God. And then about a few weeks later, I found out I had a tumour. So it was, like, weird.
So she told you this?
Yeah, she just said, you know, you go and have a checkup because you could be ill, and it was just really weird. So,
and did you ask her anything relating to you, all your the incidents and the bad luck?
No, because I went actually back there and she actually died. I can never find out what happened, what was going to happen.
We shouldn't laugh, but that's quite funny, actually.
Yeah, she found she had a heart attack and she died, so it's like, that's the end of that.
And because you had more questions.
Yeah, I would have had a lot of questions.
That's spooky. Really, you're spooking me out now.
So that's what happens. So you find something and then it comes to the end of the line. So it just sort of dies and it's finished.
Okay.
And on the more lighter note.
Let's get a little bit lighter note.
Yeah. You're an entertainer and you like to shock people.
I do.
What sort of things do you do to shock people?
Well, I wear very outrageous outfits, as in completely see-through with G-strings and stuff underneath it. And I'm not what you call skinny, as I said before.
Yes.
And I sing songs. I do parodies of songs. I sing songs about at straight venues, about fisting, rimming.
Really?
And certain, yes.
And what's the reaction in a straight venue?
In a straight venue, yeah.
What's the reaction?
Well, a lot of straight people are into fisting.
Do they understand?
First, hello. Who's straight these days? Everyone's bi.
Do they understand what you're singing about?
Well, if they don't, I let them know.
In what way?
Well, generally when I sing the rimming part, I have Vegemite and I wipe it around my lips.
Oh, God.
And generally when I do the fisting, I slip on a glove.
Really?
Yes.
And then do you put chocolate sauce on your glove?
I do. Just to make it a little bit more interesting.
And you have been told that you have gone overboard, even in gay venues.
Even in gay venues, yeah. Some people go, you've just gone overboard. But
in what way do you go overboard? Without being too graphic.
No, well, basically, if I sing the fisting song or the rimming song, some gay people even get a bit offended.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But do most people cheer, though?
They laugh.
I would be cheering in the audience.
Yeah, some people cheer, some people don't, some people are really disgusted.
Mm-hmm. Because they do it at home behind the doors.
Right. Well, that's right. Everyone does, you know.
Let's recap, because we spoke about this at the very beginning of the show, because you're not a drag queen.
No.
And you've got quite a heavy growth as well. So when you're on, and you said on stage you don't wear a lot of makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So can you see your growth through?
No. Well, you can after. You know, like, if I'm performing, I shave about 10 minutes before I perform, basically. I do it as late as I can. And although I'm not what you call gorgeous looking, but I look more like, as I said, the auntie sort of look.
Mm. So a lot of straight men try to pick you up with your auntie sort of look?
It's quite funny, actually, Kafam. I do get picked up and I hate it. Because I don't go there to get... I don't dress up to get picked up. I just go to perform and that's it. As soon as I perform, I get off stage and go home.
So what type of people trying to pick you up?
Amazing. It's funny, straight people.
Yeah.
Straight guys.
Honestly.
Even the drag queens, they all say that. A lot of straight guys just try to pick up drag queens.
Even though they know that it's a guy underneath all
of
that.
Course. It's got a penis underneath and all
course.
That.
Yeah.
And incidentally, you're performing on the 21st and the 26th. What are the occasions?
On the 21st, it's the Italian, I think it's...
The Battissimo.
Battissimo, yep. That's at...
It's a community event, isn't it?
It is a community event, yep. It's for the Italian and gay group, the I Ragazzi Battissimo, and we're having that at...
Smith Street, Collingwood?
Yes.
Oh, right.
And how do you, is there a website for it?
There is. You can just go to the website and find out all the information on that. And then on
Could
the
you just spell it? Because a lot of people won't be able
to
spell it. Unless they're Italian. Okay, it's Battissimo, Battissimo. I'm probably saying it wrong now.
Just Google that.
It's not christening. Basically, it's christening.
And then the other one, you're raising funds?
And the other one is a fundraiser for the Victorian Gay Lesbian Rights Lobby. That's at the Glass House, and that's celebrating the 40th anniversary of Stoneware Riot, which was in 1969. There'll be a lot of... different entertainment there. Kay Sara, Contessa Elvira, Janet Ho, Tony Yap, Lou good. Bennett, Lady of Colour, Liam Lowe, Rabbit Hutch, Tony Cho, Rocky Diamore, and of course Merlot.
And Merlot, of course. Merlot. I would go there for you, Merlot.
Merlot's a star.
And what's the name of that the event?
It's just a fundraiser for the Victorian Gay Lesbian Lobby Rights. Right, okay. Lobby.
And that's excellent. On the
26th.
Yeah, and you can find that more out on the website as well.
You can.
Excellent. Now, let's talk a little bit about your act, because we talked about how you look and everything else. What type of clothes do you wear? Because you said you're not a drag queen.
No.
But do you wear similar clothes, or are the clothes more
different? I wear more like as an auntie look, like when you go to a wedding. A woggy sort of auntie.
So big curly hair.
Yeah, big curly hair, sort of a lot of bling. And
80s makeup or?
80, oh, yeah, definitely 80s makeup, but not full on. Just nice and, you know, heaps of bling.
And you sing.
I do.
You don't mind.
I don't mind.
And you have actually won singing contests in
the past. I've won a lot of singing contests over the last few, yeah, not earlier on in years, yeah. So
for somebody who's been in therapy and... Obviously, you've had a few problems through your life. Is this a way of you getting over your problems and over your therapy?
I look at colour. That's why I always wear colour. Colour's brought me through. If I didn't have colour, I'd be dead. Occasionally when I do grow my hair, which I'm bald, but when I do get a bit of hair, sometimes about an inch somewhere, I'll dye it pink, green or blue or orange or whatever.
Right.
And I'm not frightened to wear colour.
Have you ever dyed your eyebrows?
I have.
What colours have you done?
I've had them pink and I've had them blue.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And actually, I just love colour. Don't go there, Kapam. Behave.
You read my mind so well. And you actually perform at High Point Shopping Centre.
I performed at High Point Shopping Centre.
What was the act about?
I actually entered the talent quest, and I entered it as Merlot He, and I sang You Needed Me, which is a real lovey-dovey sort of boring song. And when I got into the... I won the heat, and I went up to him and I said, I'm a gender illusionist. And they said... Yeah, what's that? And I said, a female impersonator. And they said, oh, okay. Well, when I rocked up at the semi-finals, they weren't impressed.
Right.
Because you changed your act?
Well, I came as a gender illusionist, and I sang as a gender illusionist. I didn't sing anything.
So the first time you weren't in...
I was Merlot, but Merlot He, like I am now.
Oh, right. Which is pretty outrageous as
well.
A
bit outrageous, yeah.
But, did you have your bag on your head?
No, I had a wig on, actually.
You must have a big collection of wigs, do
I've
you?
I've got about 30 wigs. I've got about at least 400 outfits.
My God, that must be quite expensive. The wigs are quite expensive, aren't they?
Wigs are expensive, but the outfits aren't. You get them from all the op shops around Melbourne.
Oh.
And actually, Merlot has also promised us that he might come back one day for a sequel, and it's because there's so many untold stories at Merlot.
Well, thank you very much, Merlot. It's been interesting talking to you.
Very interesting.
A bit tragic at times. And,
yes.
You know, I can understand how you feel in the therapy you've been going through, but it's been very interesting talking to you, and it's been nice meeting you and seeing the way you dress. And
because you haven't met Merlot when I sent you the email. What was the impression?
Actually, this is funny, because obviously Kapam sent me notes about tonight's interview, and I was reading it last night and today, and I thought you were a big fat thing.
A big fat poof.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, he's going to be a big fat poof. And you're not like that at all.
I am.
Fat.
Yes, we've got to wrap up the show, though. Yeah. Thanks, Nick, on the phone and supporting us as usual. He's drinking his coffee. Thank you, Nick. And coming up next is Simon and Paul with their Global Sounds.
Thanks for joining us on Driven tonight. We'll be back again 7 o'clock next Wednesday with more insights into our GLBT multicultural community here in Australia and around the world. From Kapam and myself, Hugh, good night.
Good night, and thank you, Merlot, again.
Merlot, thank you.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.